World War III Day X update. Just an average day in 2024 here today. What do we got going on today? The Russian establishment media screaming in unison about the prospect of Ukraine doing a nuclear false flag against a nuclear power plant. Now, you've probably heard that story before, but I'm telling you, I've never seen the Russian media being so alarmist about this, and it makes sense considering that right now you got a couple German military analysts talking about how the collective West and its many mercenaries are currently invading a place called Kursk. Now, no, this is not 1943. In fact, it is 2024. You know that old saying, history doesn't repeat, it rhymes? Well, if you have a really dumbed down population that's been systematically neutered and dumbed down over the last 60, 70, 80 years, then it doesn't rhyme, it just repeats, okay? And that's what's happening here. So we got that going on. Not much else going on besides gold smashing previous records. Gold at an all-time high. Gold is a barometer for social chaos. I remember when we had Bob Moriarty on here, he said that if gold hits $2,500, I think it was $2,500, you are not going to want to go outside or something to that extent. And we can see that as gold is ticking upwards, it's telling us something. It's telling us that things are becoming far more volatile, but you wouldn't see that if you just looked at the volatility index in the markets. But there's some very strange things happening there as well that we need to talk about. We got airborne strains of viruses with alleged 5% fatality rates, you know, the usual stuff. And it makes people look like zombies and stuff at the same time. All the kind of stuff that you would expect in the run-up to Day X. Yes, they're saying now that it is a airborne strain, or airborne in the same way that COVID was airborne, so you can get it on surfaces and all this. Who knows what sort of draconian agendas are going to be rolled out in response to that, but I'm sure they're going to scare everybody into doing whatever it is they want everybody to do. But who knows? Maybe Mpox will be the thing that stops our leaders from pushing the nuclear button. But I would not bank on that. And in Iran, they are claiming, the Iranians, or an Iranian diplomat, a very high-level Iranian diplomat, is claiming that Iran has the means to retaliate in kind to a nuclear strike on their facilities by the Israelis. They're saying that they're able to respond proportionally, meaning that they're suggesting that they already have nuclear weapons, or that they could cause as much devastation as Israel's nuclear weapons could cause them. Considering that right now you have massive flotillas, deployments of U.S. Navy vessels likely armed with nuclear weapons heading into that region, that's a very bold statement. Everybody is waiting for Iran to respond. But understand that if you're the Iranians and you know that this whole thing was a provocation designed to get you to throw what the public will view, who only watches Western media, what the public will view as the first punch so that you can be perceived as the instigator, you would probably be withholding your response. Eventually, you will have your retribution in time, but for now, it's a game of psychological warfare without playing into whatever sort of scheme Israel and the United States have concocted for you to, a trap that they've concocted for you to fall into. Now, let's talk about this story about Ukraine preparing dirty nuke attack. Just to break this down, they've said this time and time again. In fact, this is like a quarterly story, but this time it's different. This time you have the entirety of the establishment media within Russia screaming that this is something that's about to happen, that it's potentially an imminent scenario that could play out. Never before, with all of the warnings, even when Sergei Shoigu contacted Lloyd Austin back in late 2022 and warned that the Ukrainians were in fact getting ready to target a nuclear facility, either with conventional munitions or getting ready to use a dirty bomb, there wasn't this media attention calling attention to it. Certainly not in the West, but even in Russia, there wasn't no media attention given to it. Very little. You had to go kind of searching for it because then maybe they didn't want to spook people. But Sergei Shoigu contacted Lloyd Austin nonetheless and advised him that if they go through with this, that the Russians are probably going to respond in kind, nuking Ukraine or doing some sort of tit-for-tat retaliatory strike. Now, today, you have accusations that a false flag operation using radioactive warheads is reportedly aimed at spent nuclear fuel. Now, what is the purpose of this story? We got to think four-dimensionally here. Because right now, Russia is being invaded by the collective West's mercenary army, which is being talked about by the German guys here on this screen that I just showed you. Is this just to take attention away from that fact? Is this, in fact, a concoction of the Russians in order to take attention away? These are things that an objective analyst would consider because, of course, it's easy to just fall in the trap of our leaders lie all the time, which they do. I talk about that all the time. But to say that the Russians don't lie to their population when their establishment media is as tightly controlled is a bit of a bridge too far. So they're claiming that Ukrainian forces have begun preparations to target nuclear waste storage sites at Russian power plants with radioactive warheads. Notice they say Russian nuclear power plant. So Zaporizhia nuclear power plant still, according to the Ukrainians, belongs to them because it was one that was acquired early on in the conflict. The Russians have been in possessions of it. It's been in the center of the news cycle. Quite frequently, of course, our Western media always blames any type of event there that happens on the Russians, even though they're the ones who are in control of it. And it's likely the Ukrainians who are firing at the power plant, but we always blame the Russians, which really makes no logical sense whatsoever. So in order to have that thought, you almost have to engage in what Orwell called doublethink. But regardless, let's just presume that, let's just give them that. Let's just say, okay, maybe the Russians are shooting at their own power plant trying to simulate a false flag and blame it on the Ukrainians to justify further incursion into their territory. I don't think they need to do that at this point. Russia is being invaded by 20,000, they're alleging now, 20,000 soldiers. Many of them are likely NATO mercenaries because they ain't speaking Ukrainian. Many of them are speaking whatever language, blend of language they speak. You know, maybe they're coming from Western Ukraine, Poland. Many of them are speaking English, French. So you have this collective force of troops moving into Russia at this point in time. Now, it's important to look at the language here. They're talking about a nuclear attack, a nuclear dirty bomb. Not a nuclear weapon, but a dirty bomb attack, not on the reactor of the nuclear power plants, but on the spent fuel pools. Because the reactor of the complex, you know, with the exception of maybe a nuclear weapon or a very, very high yield explosive, you're not going to be able to do any damage to it because they are built to withstand these types of things. These things are built during the Cold War, so they're built to withstand blasts, probably not nuclear blasts, though. This is the first war, first high-intensity peer-to-peer conflict that we've seen where nuclear power plants are involved. So this is all new for humanity, right? But what's interesting here is that they're saying that they're not only going to hit the spent fuel pools with a warhead, they're saying that that warhead itself, and I've checked all sources of Russian media to make sure that this wasn't a translation error, they're saying that radioactive warheads are going to be aimed at spent nuclear fuel. Now, why the hell would you do that? Why would you go to the extent of doing that when all you would need to do, because really in that case, you need spent fuel from a Russian power plant. Now, there was rumors, I think it was about a year ago, that Ukrainians had acquired fissionable material from Russian nuclear power plants because, of course, the IAEA has ways of, that's the International Atomic Energy Agency, they have ways of testing the radiological matter, the isotopes or whatever. I'm not a nuclear physicist. I'll have to get Kai and friends in here to explain this. But you can test it to see if where it comes from, its place of origin, depending on its composition. So if they were to use a dirty bomb to target a nuclear facility, which wouldn't make no sense because you get the same results with a conventional warhead hitting the spent fuel pool. So why would you incriminate yourself unless you were really trying to make it look like it was the Russians who targeted their own nuclear facility? And we know people are gullible enough to believe that. But that said, this is 4D chess, and you cannot put anything past the Russians at this point in time. I mean, it's just, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm leaning towards this is a ridiculous proposition to suggest that Russia would nuke its own power plants in order to put the brakes on something. Would they be willing to sustain that level of embarrassment to prevent World War III? Because think about this. If we do see a dirty bomb used, that could be the singular event which causes just enough reprieve to get people back to the negotiating table. There would be outcries from around the world about the threats of nuclear weapons, and there'd be whole movements, and there'd be protests and all. You almost need something like that of that magnitude to stop something much, much worse, which would be global thermonuclear war, from ensuing. So I'm suspicious of this whole thing. Some people are saying that maybe this is an attempt to prime the Russian population to get ready for an actual nuclear attack. There are former intelligence analysts, part of the clique that I won't get into criticizing today. Anyways, they suggest, and they're going on and on about the prospect of using mini nuclear weapons, or Ukraine using tactical nuclear weapons in some capacity on the front. So the Russians, one line of thinking is that the Russians are getting their population ready to accept being nuked, but doing it in a way that is benign and not necessarily metastasizing into a full-blown nuclear war. And how do you do that? Well, you dangle the threat of, you know, a limited, dirty nuclear bomb attack in front of their heads, meaning that this is going to be limited. And this is how you prime the population without panicking them to get into the Moscow subways or going into the dachas. We have a lot of nuclear rhetoric, in fact, happening right now. We have Belarus claiming once again that they're getting ready to deploy 20 brigades in a moment's notice. They claim that they can deploy 20 brigades, which I presume is around, what would that be, between 60 to 100,000 troops or something of that nature. And that they, if Ukraine, who they claim is preparing to cross into their country, into their borders, that they will not hesitate, that they will immediately use nuclear weapons. The question is where? Where will you use the nuke, right? Because if you use a nuke and they've already entered into your country, well, do you put the nuke behind them so they have to walk through the fallout in an attempt to act as a bit of a radiological blockade of sorts? Of course, the Russians and probably the West as well trained for that type of combat during the Cold War, but I don't think the Ukrainians, who are loaded up with fresh conscripts right now, are ready to fight a war period, much less one that involves wearing a gas mask and a bunch of CBRN equipment. So the situation is very, very complex right now. Allegedly, the Russian nuclear armed forces are on the highest state of alert, one of the highest since the beginning of what they're still calling a special military operation, despite the fact that Putin himself has called it a war on numerous occasions in the last few months. And many high-ranking officials have called for Zelensky's early retirement, we'll say. Okay? So, now this is where it gets crazy. This is where it gets a little bizarre. And that the Russian media is reporting this, maybe that's why gold is $2,546. I mean, really just appreciate this for a second, my friends. Remember, we've had guests on the channel, and they've said, you know, I recall them saying, yeah, gold could hit $2,500. We all thought it was like this enigma almost, like we could never really conceive a surreal world that we would be in when gold was at $2,500. And here we are. 2,546 ballers. I still got Normalcy Norman beating on my door every single day saying nothing bad is ever going to happen. What is that old quote? Was it, who was it? Was it Joseph Stalin who said that there's decades when nothing happens and days when decades happen or something to that effect? That's where we are. We're on the precipice of some parabolic changes that could just happen overnight. And wouldn't it be funny? Not funny, because I would be done. When I stop uploading videos, that's when it's time to bug out. Unless Starlink is still operational. As long as Starlink is still operational on the homestead, then I'll be uploading. But wouldn't it be interesting if all of this stuff converged at the same time? And maybe there's something to do with this. Maybe Mpox is going to be what causes everybody to go back to the negotiating table. I highly doubt it. 5% fatality rate. That's what they're quoting with the COVID-19, and then, of course, it quickly started to mutate, and it went down in severity to 0.0 whatever. Let's not get into that. But it's hard to say, because this one started off at a lower fatality. Now they're saying it's a higher fatality. It's probably just a bunch of fluff, but who knows? We'll know when they start making it taboo to talk about it. That's how you know. I'm just wondering if we're going to see this scene once again with these German guys talking here, who have themselves. You can see that these guys are not, you know, these are no Chads or Tyrones. These are clearly, you know, the 2024 version, right? They're a little more light in the loafers, you might say, by the looks of things. But, of course, you know, they can't come off as too intimidating, because then that's going to, yeah, that's going to scare people if they do that. So, anyways, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? Russian MP claims, let's just leave that on the screen for a second while we read this next excerpt. Parliamentary Deputy Mikhail Sheremet was quoted by state news agency RIA Novosti that there is irrefutable proof that foreigners are participating with attacks in the Russian Federation. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot to read you guys something that I just said I was going to about this nuclear power plant. This is very important, and it kind of ties into what I'm going to talk about next. The Ukrainian military allegedly plans to use warheads containing radioactive material to attack the Kursk and Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plants, Western intelligence agencies, according to Russian intelligence agencies, particularly from Britain, are said to be overseeing the planned attacks on these nuclear power plants. Now, it's hard to say what's fake news or what's not, but I can tell you that RT is not going to pump something unless there's a little bit of fire somewhere. I'm not saying what they're saying is true. I encourage you to try to view all angles of this. It really starts to look that they are taking attention away from what is happening in Kursk. But are they signaling to the West that they're going to do something, or that we're really reaching a critical junction when things can go bad really, really fast, and we might be seeing something like this very, very soon again, only the guy will be wearing a gas mask. Okay, now going back to Mikhail Sheremet, was quoted by the state agency RIA Novosti that there's irrefutable proof that foreigners are participating with the attacks in the Russian Federation. He said, considering the presence of Western military equipment, the use of Western munition and missiles, and attacks on civilian infrastructure, an irrefutable proof of foreigners' participation in the attack on the Russian territory, one could come to the conclusion that the world is on the brink of a third world war. Oh yeah, and Nikolay Petrushev has also said that, you know, all these rumors about a guy named Vladimir Z. I mean, we live in a cartoon, okay? Now they're saying Vladimir Z in a canoe with some of his boys was the one who blew up Nord Stream, that he fled to Poland or something like that. And they're trying to get him extradited to Germany. Anyways, they're claiming that Western intelligence services helped Ukraine plan the raid into Kursk and Nord Stream, okay, we all kind of knew about that, right? I mean, nobody's, even the most hardcore of brainwashed normalcy Norman Karens out there are not going to contest that one. But to say that they planned the Kursk, and this is Nikolai Petrushev, he would not say, this is Putin's like top dog, okay? If he's saying that, then Putin thinks that the West, probably Britain, I'm assuming, the UK maybe played a heavier hand in this than the United States. They kind of take turns instigating. Then that's deadly serious, guys, because really everything that I've been saying is true, is that NATO is invading Russia using Ukraine as a battering ram with F-16s, which are now going to have JASSM missiles, which are air-to-surface missiles with a 400-kilometer range. You see, they just keep upping the ante and upping the ante over and over again. Now, let's pivot to Iran. We talked about Belarus threatening nuclear weapons, instant annihilation, according to Lukashenko, and it's a very concerning statement considering he is saying that Ukraine is getting ready to invade Belarus and he's ready to deploy 20 brigades of troops at a moment's notice. I don't think he's done that yet, so I guess we still have a little bit of time. We'll probably pivot back into the Ukrainian invasion in a moment. Actually, while we're on the topic, let's just quickly go over the stats of this, because there's a lot of disinformation. I see a lot of bros, Russia bros, doing some cope and just minimizing this. And while I do think, and while pretty much everybody probably thinks that this is not going to last, and it's just another Pyrrhic exercise in futility, let's talk about what's happened thus far, okay? Ukraine is conducting large-scale drone attacks on multiple Russian Air Force bases deep into Russian territory, in addition to continuously attempting to target the bridge. Why is my phone blowing up? Is Day X approaching, or are we just annoying Nate while he's doing a video? It's just annoying Nate while he's doing a video. All right. Perfect. Day X, we got time. I got to go home. I want to get my harvest in. I'm really eager to harvest my potatoes. More on that later. Russian authorities continue to expand mandatory evacuations in multiple districts in Kursk to the hundreds of thousands of people. The United States is looking at supplying Ukraine with JASSM air-launched stealth cruise missiles and is already conducting preliminary preparations to upgrade Ukrainian F-16s. Do I have a picture of those somewhere? I don't know if I have a picture of those, and I don't know if you really even need to know. But yeah, that's, you know, the F-16s were the deployment system, and they're going to get ready to deploy the missiles to suit. I don't know if they're nuclear capable. Maybe we will find out they are at some point in time. But Ukrainian F-16s are already upgraded to receive, and they have the ability to launch these. Russia has started rapidly building a network of trenches 45 kilometers behind the border, so reestablishing defensive lines. They've moved several thousand troops from the front lines in Ukraine and shifted them to the Kursk region. For now, they've bolstered the region with additional conscripts. So it appears as though some people are suggesting that this whole thing is a diversion and that the Ukrainians are actually focused on Crimea. The main attack of the AFU, this is according to Russians, who the Ukrainians view as Russian propagandists. I guess we'll see how this all plays out. Some people are saying the big arrow attack is going to happen in the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, and this is where we're going to get the dirty bomb stuff. Anyways, the main attack of the AFU will be on Crimea, in which they will use all of their reserves and the F-16s and the JASSMs and the ATACMS, everything they can throw at it. And this is going to be the big final grand maneuver that is going to end the war, and that this is just a diversion. Unconfirmed reports of multiple impacts and explosions near or on the Kerch Bridge in Crimea as per the time of making this video, but I doubt it because that would be very, very massive news. In addition to what is going on this front in Lithuania, they're currently building the largest military base for German tank crews near the border. The Germans, right? Near the border of Belarus. What could possibly go wrong here, folks? Yeah, let me read that again. Lithuania is building the largest military base for German tank crews near the border with Belarus. These are the ones who are going to be receiving a German brigade of 5,000 troops, a whole 5,000. This will be the largest military infrastructure in the history of Lithuania. Okay. The defense ministry said the military town is planned to be built at the name I can't pronounce training ground in the name I can't pronounce district bordering Belarus. Bundeswehr brigades will train at the training ground by 2027, they claim. I love these dates because, you know, the dates are just a way. I think they understand the psychology. They call it psychological pricing. If you raise the price of gas by, you know, 2 or 3 cents, I think 3 is the limit, people won't really care. But if you raise it by 6, you know, over the course of 2 weeks, but if you raise it 3% each week, people won't say anything. But if you raise it 6, then people will scream and shout. So it's like saying, you know, 2027, I got 2 years to prepare for the end of the world, so it's not a big deal. If they said 2025, which is what they're building all the infrastructure and the rapid corridors so they can Schengen across the European continent at light speed, then people would be just mildly perturbed by all of this. Now, we have them claiming that they're going to deploy an entire security brigade by that time, 5,000 troops, as I previously indicated. Oh, and Canada has given Ukraine the green light to use our weapons in Russia, to attack Russia, Canada, with all of its, what do they have, those, what are they called, senator tanks or senator personal or armored personnel carriers or something. They look pretty cool. You know, admittedly, I'd like to get one of those as a bug-out vehicle, but I think we only gave them like 100, and maybe we gave them some bullets or something like that, but the cost of ammunition right now is freaking through the roof. You know how much we're paying for 223 right now up here? I don't know if it's the same thing in the United States. You guys can let me know. But if you want to get a bucket, I think it's, correct me if I'm wrong, is it 350 bullets for 350 bucks? So it's either a buck a round, or is it 350 bucks for 100 rounds? Either way, it's insanely expensive. All the good, even shotgun ammo, is insanely expensive. So it's time to start learning how to reload, especially the 223, 5.56, you can barely ever get, if you can get it, at least the places that I shop, maybe you can find it. I'm sure if you're a dealer, I'm going to get 10,000 messages, I can sell you some. That'd be great. That would be great, because we're probably going to need it, but 223 will suffice. Yeah, but we're giving them the green light to go to war, because we have such a sound nuclear deterrent, right? Wrong. We have the United States, and they're what, like 40 defensive missiles that are going to attempt to intercept the 1,000 that the Soviet Union is going to send over. I just call them the Soviet Union. Might as well. We're in World War II, apparently. Yeah, so Biden is mulling. You know, they always use that word in the alt independent media, mulling. Mulling sending long-range cruise missiles to Ukraine. That means they're already doing it. They are already doing it, and 82 settlements in the Kursk region are under Ukrainian control. That's what's going down, Charlie Brown. That's what's going down on that front. Now, that is just one front, right? That is one front. We still got to talk about monkeypox. I can't call it that. Mpox. We got to talk about what's going on in Poland. We're going to come back to the Poland news in a moment. I want to talk about what's going on in Iran. Lots of weird theories swirling about Iran. Now, this guy, Amir al-Mousawi, is a former high-ranking diplomat within the Iranian government. And here is what he has to say, and I'll let you interpret this as you will. Iran has been threatened with a nuclear strike, says Amir al-Mousawi in an interview with Al-Mayadeen, which is Lebanon's chief news agency. Former Iranian diplomat Amir al-Mousawi revealed that Iran has been threatened with a nuclear strike. He emphasized that the country has affirmed that any nuclear attack would be met with a proportional response. Well, how do you do a proportional response to Israel's estimated up to 90 nuclear weapons? And now you have France and the United States and a few other countries saying that we're not only going to defend Israel if you attack, but we're going to join in the counterattack. Well, how do you proportionally exchange what could potentially be dozens of nuclear warheads in order to have a conventional equivalent. You're talking pretty much launching everything they have in their bunkers, unless they're suggesting that they already have nuclear weapons. Now, let's just keep in mind that the Chinese have a vested interest in Iran, in Iran's security, because, of course, they rely on Iranian oil. Right now, they are stockpiling oil, but China can only stockpile so much oil. And they got, what, 1.5 billion mouths to feed there, and people who are slowly migrating. The reason why China is going full-blown solar like crazy is because they don't want to be reliant on the petro-industrial complex when World War III or Day X comes. They're getting prepared for the apocalypse. They're preparing the bunkers. They're getting everybody on solar. But they still, you know, I'd say probably what? I don't know, just to pull out a number out of my ass, 90% of all of their energy needs are still met by petrol-based fuels in some capacity and coal, which of course is very similar. So they need Iran. And if Iran goes down, they know that they're not going to be in a good position to bargain with anybody, and they don't want to just have Russia at their disposal. So they have a vested interest in telling North Korea, hey, go give Iran some nuclear weapons. North Korea will say, okay, give me some grain, give me some more big missiles or whatever. You know, they get a new package of weapons